This is the Mother Time Madness podcast with Courts. I am Courts, and today's episode is raising strong mothers in Canberra.
I have mums say to me all the time, oh my God, you're superwoman. But that morning I've been crying my eyes out and have struggled to get out of the house. But knowing that I'm going to go in and see all these mums and we have a great time and we have a bit of a whinge about the kids, not sleeping, all of that sort of stuff. You feel so much better. They walk in, they look like they're about to burst into tears, but they walk out with a smile on their face.
I'm chatting with Jackie on the podcast today. Jackie owns and operates Bump It Up Fitness and Canberra Fitness Centre. First up, let's get to know what she's up to around Canberra with her kids, in particular, the favourite parks.
Our locals, we've got some incredible parks here in Canberra, but it's the hassle of getting them in the car some days. And when the toddler is screaming, it's just putting her on her little trike and pushing her around the corner to the local park. And it's quiet. It's nice and quiet. You don't have to fight.
You know what? Sometimes I see like the more local parks and I think, oh, you don't look fun enough. They wouldn't know.
Oh,
like
they
think it'd be great just walking up and down something 10 times. It's fun to them.
Oh, yeah.
But I look at it, I'm like, that's not fun enough.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to go to like Boundless or something.
So much fun. The imagination. It allows them the time for imagination as well, which is great.
What are we obsessed with watching on the telly at the moment?
Who isn't obsessed with Bluey? Bluey, my daughter, is yelling at me in the mornings.
One episode and they're hooked.
God, I'm hooked.
Yeah.
I cry with some of the episodes. They're so good and so many life lessons.
What is the go-to easy dinner for you?
Sounds like hard work to some people, but a slow-cooked lamb.
Oh, I love a slow-cooked.
Chuck it in. 8 hours later, it's done.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I've got to get my slow cooker out.
Pull it out.
I just forget about it.
I know.
My husband does all the cooking.
That's so nice.
We made a deal.
Good. That's good. I love when my hubby takes over and does.
I said, I'll do all the washing if you do all the cooking. I'm not really holding up my end, to be honest, not very well. Jackie Ambrose Benazzi is a powerful force of a woman, and she's on a mission to educate the mothers and women of Canberra to do better for themselves because they're worth it. Jackie is tall and striking, and I dare you not to be mesmerised by a massive smile when she enters the room. She's the owner of more than one fitness business in Canberra. Jackie's had her hand in a CrossFit-style gym, the Canberra Fitness Centre, and importantly, for this style podcast, Bump It Up Fitness. You can follow her at bump_it_up_fitness on Instagram. With two kids on her heels and running her household, she doesn't really have time to be on the podcast, I can't imagine. Yet I was lucky enough to sit with her and chat about the fitness industry and motherhood. In those early days of motherhood, Jackie struggled through breastfeeding and coming to terms with the fact that she had a C-section, which did not meet her expectations of childbirth. Jackie realized she could help so many women like her if she focused her attention on mums in the gym. This rollercoaster career in the gym has been many years in the making.
It started 8 years ago, actually, as previously PT to you and Preggy Bellies.
Yep.
I had a franchise. I was training clients who wanted to fall pregnant, and I was like, I have no idea how to train them. What do I need to do? And so I started looking into the pre and postnatal training.
So how long have you been a PT?
Been a PT over 11 years now.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Why?
Why? Oh, interesting story, actually.
Yeah.
I was 23 years old having a midlife crisis. And hubby was just like, Jack, you love helping people. You hate your job.
Yeah.
You love exercise. Go and do your PT course. You're always complaining that you haven't done, you know, a uni degree or anything like that. So go and become a PT. And I did. And I haven't looked back. So
that's
that was
awesome.
A while ago. Yeah.
Did you always like exercise?
No, I was not sporty in school, anything like that. Yeah.
If you weren't sporty when you were growing up, what made you get a passion for it later?
I loved how it made me feel.
Mm.
It was the mental aspect of it as
Do
well.
Do you have an anxious mind?
Absolutely. Yep. Totally. I had a really bad relationship at the time as well. And I was exercising 2 or 3 times a day, going for walks, got into the gym. And I just loved that endorphin rush that you got from it.
Your head clears.
Absolutely.
When you became a PT,
were
you just planning to work out of a gym, or did you always think in the future I want to have my own gym, I want my own clients?
Never thought any of that. I just loved it. I just love people, talking with them, making them feel good, helping them. I started working for another PT business And I couldn't afford it financially. You just didn't earn much. And at the stage when I was doing my course, it was 4% of PTs continued after 2 years.
Wow.
So low. I don't know what the stats are now. That was quite some time ago. But I could understand why, because it was a lot of hard work, early mornings, and not much return. So I then went back into doing project administration work. I got a call from my old boss. He was joking, "Hey, Jackie, do you want to come back?" And I'm like, "Actually, I was going to call you last week." And he's like, "You're kidding. I've got a job. Like, oh, if you want, like, when do you want to start?" And I'm like, "Next week." And so I was back in project work. But a couple of, maybe 6 months, a year later, I had old clients contacting me saying, "Hey, you're still training. We'd love to train with you." And I went, "Maybe I should do something." Mm. And my workplace wanted to do some training. So they asked me to run some group sessions.
Oh, that's
for
good.
Them. So it was awesome.
Make it work for you.
Absolutely.
What made pregnant women come to you?
Yes.
If you weren't sort of already doing that?
Okay, so a number of my clients then wanted to fall pregnant. So I then found a Preggy Bellies course to do, the pre and postnatal training. And from there, they were like, "We need to do something with you. Mm. We'd love you to, you know, become an instructor or maybe buy a franchise." And so I bought a franchise and I started Preggy Bellies. And that's
go
how
all
it,
in.
Why not? So that's how it all started with the pre and postnatal. We had the pregnant girls come and do their classes. Then they wanted to continue on with us, but wanted something more than the ball work. Once they were recovered, rebuilt from the inside out, they wanted to, up their intensity. Mm. So we had mums and bubs classes that they could join into as well.
When you sort of started gravitating towards that and helping women, and I think even when you're not pregnant or haven't had babies, there's something very special about just being one-on-one with a woman and being able to speak the same language and understand each other's nuances and anxieties and
yes,
whatever it happens to be.
Yeah.
At what point did you go, maybe there should just be a club for this?
You got me. It just happened.
Yep.
It really did just happen. The business was PTTU and then migrated into Canberra Fitness Centre, and Preggy Bellies was part of that. I did also have a CrossFit style gym as well, Chase Athletic. So it was sort of the whole family. Mm. It was the facility for the whole family. Mm. So you'd have the woman come, she'd fall pregnant, come into the class, love the place so much, encourage her partner to come along,
yep,
they'd join in. And it was just like a really great community for everyone to come in and work out together. Then we have some of our mums with older children who bring their kids along to sessions as well.
Like so teenagers?
Teenagers.
Oh,
we still have teenagers doing it now as well, which is awesome. So
I said to someone the other day as well, I think when I was growing up, we saw our parents, they would exercise when it was time to lose weight. You would maybe see your dad would put on some weight and then he'd start walking and then he'd lose the weight and then maybe the walking would sort of stop. And I feel like there's a shift now.
Yes.
I feel like there's definitely a shift to parents including them, like in what you've just said, slash just seeing that they do it.
It's the seeing they do it, the mums bringing their kids along. And then the kids, as they start getting older, want to join in.
Mm.
I see it with my kids as well. They want to join in with me. They see it as part of life. It's making it fun as well. That's one thing that we do try and do. We have a laugh about it. Whereas if you're sort of really hardcore about it and it's always about,
it's not fun.
I've put on weight,
it's not fun.
Make it part of life. It's just an everyday thing, like brushing your teeth or having a shower. I take the kids for a walk. Sometimes, my son's like, "Come on, mum, run."
Mm.
So he's my own little personal trainer, pushing the pram, dragging the bike along for my daughter. And he sees it as fun. It's a game. That's what you want to do with kids.
It's like incidental exercise.
It is. You can make prioritized exercise. You can prioritize your exercise. But if you make it fun, then you're more likely to do it.
When you find these women are coming, do you find they're also seeking friendships within the community?
Yeah. Some of them are. Some of them just need to get out of the house. There's this stigma still around mums and admitting that you're not coping, that you're struggling, and that it's hard, because motherhood, you know what it's like. It's just unrelenting. It's also so rewarding. But there are some women that feel, because you look on Instagram and everything looks perfect. I have mums say to me all the time, "Oh my God, you're superwoman." But that morning I've been crying my eyes out
yeah.
and have struggled to get out of the house. But knowing that I'm going to go in and see all these mums and we have a great time and we have a bit of a whinge about the kids not sleeping, all of that sort of stuff, you feel so much better. They walk in, they look like they're about to burst into tears, but they walk out with a smile on their face and you can see, okay, you've
had an
impact.
Even if they burst into tears, they're in a safe space.
Who cares?
That's it. Yeah. So what was the difference in training a pregnant person versus a non-pregnant person and then also a postpartum person?
So pregnancy, there's a number of factors you need to consider, especially if they've got contraindications. So they might have a low-lying placenta, but they've been cleared to exercise. They might have hyperemesis, so they're vomiting all the time.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm so sorry if you're listening and you went through that. That just sounds horrible.
Yeah, you're
you
looking
had
at
it?
It was not good. Second time round as well, trying to
both
push
times,
my son. Both times. Worse with my daughter. I'd be getting up with my son at 4:30 in the morning, trying to go on PT clients at 5:30, who had no idea I was pregnant, brushing my teeth, hurling my guts up in the shower, brushing my teeth again, hurling, giving up on brushing my teeth, chewing gum, going into work.
Is it not enough to be growing the human? Does this have to go on top? I'm impressed you went back.
I didn't think it would happen again. I don't know. I honestly,
you thought, oh, you
I
can't
forgot.
Get it twice. Yeah,
I actually forgot until I started going through it and I couldn't stomach food. The smell would just make, I was, oh my God. Yeah.
Anyway, we'll circle back. So you were saying that training them can be so, so different when they are pregnant.
Yep.
And each person obviously has their own set of things. Like, for example, if I were to have been exercising with a PT in my second pregnancy, mentioning sciatica as a problem would be something I would have needed to have brought up with you.
Yes.
That's just one thing. So people are bringing up HG, they're bringing up whether they have really bad morning sickness, really bad nausea. Are these all things that have to just be piled up and you have to consider?
I do. So we have to do pre-screening with them and speak to them to find out, because sometimes we forget to put things in a form. And then when you're asked, oh, hold on, I forgot about that. Pelvic girdle is a big one. We refer to pelvic girdle, anything around the hip region, the lumbar spine, through the hips, the front of the hips, the back, the SIJ, pubic symphysis. Because if you've got a girl that's suffering pelvic girdle, then there are modifications that need to be made with that, and ensuring that we're activating glutes, deep core muscles as well. Through the pregnancy, there's all of that. But postnatally, we also need to factor in their birthing. What happened through their labour? Were they exercising prior? If they weren't exercising with us, what was their pregnancy like? Then postnatal, their birthing. Did they have a vaginal birth? Was it a cesarean? Do they have any tearing, prolapse? You know, how's their C-section recovery going along? How far postnatal are they? Have they seen a women's health physio? You know, there's so many things. 6-week checkup, that's nothing, because you go to your 6-week checkup, you're having your pap smear done, they're asking about your mental health, how's everything going, how's bub going, and that's it. There's no pelvic floor examination, how's everything functioning. We strongly, strongly, strongly go and recommend to go and see a women's health physio to have an internal observation done to see how everything's firing, because they're the eyes on the inside for us. We cannot tell pelvic floor activation from the outside. When you have it done in the hospital, they get you to hold your fingers in between your hip bones and activate pelvic floor. Oh, yeah, I can feel it. You can't. That's transverse, and transverse and pelvic floor should work together. I'm going technical here.
There's so much to it, and you just
so much to it.
You're completely naive to it unless you're told like this.
You need to go and get checked. You might have women that are overactive pelvic floor, and so there's modifications for exercise for them. Same with a weak pelvic floor or prolapse. There's modifications there. But then as bub gets bigger, how are they carrying baby? What's happening with their posture? There's all of those things. Mummy movements. We make sure that we're training mums in ways that help strengthen them for the everyday demands of motherhood. You're constantly bending down, squatting down to the ground. Once postnatal, always postnatal as well. I have to say that, because we have mums who have come to us 20 years postnatal, 30 years postnatal, and they say, "I, you know, talk to me about it." Oh, no, that was 30 years ago. But you've got hip issues. What's going on? Talk to me about your birth. I had one woman who shattered her children's collarbones when she gave birth.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's like, well, where's that flow-on effect
that happens? She was ferocious.
Incredible woman. Very strong woman.
Wow.
But you never, ever think that. I do, and a lot more women are now because the education, we've come a long way in the last, you know, 20 years.
That was going to be one of my questions when it comes to exercise postnatally and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I find that because I like to follow a lot of my favorite celebrities, when they get pregnant, they go for their 6-week checkup, they rush back into the gym, and you're seeing these images of them online or videos of them online training themselves pretty intensely pretty soon after childbirth. Now, you would assume that they probably kept active during their pregnancy, that they've worked with pretty top doctors considering they have the money and resources, physios, all of that.
Yeah.
You have to assume that they're doing this. But for the normal woman, the woman who maybe let it go for the last couple of months of pregnancy because she did have a toddler and she could barely get off the couch.
Yep.
For the normal woman who worked until 39 weeks because she had no other option financially. For the normal woman who didn't even stop bleeding until like 5 weeks after giving birth. As a PT watching that happen online, do you stress out?
It kills me.
Yeah.
It kills me. I have a couple of PT friends in the industry all across Australia, and I send some of the messages to them, and I'm like, what is this person doing? Like, look at the damage. I shouldn't say damage, it's the wrong word, because some people, you might be one of the percentage that are okay after giving birth and have no problems.
Mm.
But the majority of women,
there's
aren't
something
like that. There's always there's something. The reels kill me at the moment with the ones where you see women who are skipping, and it's those jokes about, I wet myself.
Yeah.
That might be common. It's not normal. Go
you
and
have
do
to go
something
and check
about
it.
Out. Yeah. But there's such a joke about it.
Mm.
Women think that it's okay. They think it's normal. They don't worry about it. And the problems show up through menopause as well. I hate panty liner ads because, again, it's the showing the weakness. But when you've got the shift in hormones happening, your pelvic floor gets weaker. You tell me a woman who, when they're menstruating, pelvic floor is always weaker because of our hormonal shifts. It's hard to engage. So that's another thing we have to factor in as well when women are training with us. They'll find that they're weaker. I'm digressing here.
No.
They find they're weaker. And I say, I just have a quiet word. Have you got your period? And they're like, yeah, how do you know? I'm like, because you're not as strong as you normally are. How's your pelvic floor? Oh, I'm actually struggling today. That's normal. But a
no
lot
one's
of women
talking
don't
about
know.
That.
They don't talk about it.
I didn't
it.
Know that.
No.
I've had my period for 20 years. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know I was weaker,
and it's
stronger.
Hard. It's around, like, after having a baby as well, because if you had the trauma of pregnancy, weighing down on the pelvic floor. If you've not had pelvic floor rehabilitation after giving birth as well, you've had tearing, you haven't had scar release done as well. So if you've had an episiotomy too, you've had trauma to your pelvic floor. It's rehabbing.
I argue that everyone's is traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
Every childbirth and pregnancy is traumatic on your body.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Hey, it's me stopping in to remind you that it's okay to feel mother's guilt, because we all do. We're seeing a real theme with working mums on the podcast and their guilt. Jackie is much the same, and when it comes to leaving for work in the evenings, she's feeling it hard. She'll let us in at the end of the episode, but for now, that pesky Instagram. I watch these celebrities on Instagram and I get really worried that people will see something that makes them think they have to get in a gym too quickly.
Yep.
And it's something that...
Or start copying what they're doing.
Yeah.
I have met many women who have never run before pregnancy, and all of a sudden they have their baby and they want to run.
Yeah.
I'm like, why do you want to run? To lose the weight.
Yeah.
You know that there's more efficient ways that are low impact, that aren't going to put as much pressure on your body as what running will, that will get you even better results.
Mm-hmm.
We don't focus on weight loss. I hate it.
That was what I was going to say as well. There's such a get your
pre-baby
body back.
It drives me bonkers.
What's wrong with your post-baby body? There's nothing wrong with it. In fact, if anything, you've leveled up. I've been in the trap. 100% I've been in the trap. And before I had my first, I was at my fittest.
Yep.
And I was at my healthiest in terms of fitness, and you make better choices when you're fitter when it comes to food, blah, blah, blah. And so when I had Betty, the weight was off within a month, I reckon, after childbirth. It just came off and I was happy as well. So she was a pretty good sleeper. I was getting pretty good sleep considering, yep. You know, I was happy. So the weight came off. I was nourishing my body because I was starving from breastfeeding so much. I was going for a lot of walks with her because I had the time and I had the energy and I wanted to. Completely different story with my second, Goldie.
Yeah.
Afterwards, I was sad as anything. Yeah. I wasn't getting sleep.
Yeah.
I wasn't nourishing my body properly because I was breastfeeding, but I was more concerned about losing weight. And I wasn't losing weight because I wasn't thinking about nourishing my body.
Yeah.
I wasn't going for walks because I didn't have time because I had a toddler. So then I was so angry at myself. Well, the weight came off before Betty. I got down to that weight. Why didn't it come off after Goldie? And someone said to me, you know, you're really sad. That's that's bad for your body. And I think about all the times in my life where I've held on to weight or I've been fat me. And it's always because I'm sad.
You're sad, yeah.
As a PT who obviously has a lot of pride in what you do and keeping yourself fit and healthy and toned and all of that, how was transitioning into a softer body?
It's really interesting because I did suffer with exercise bulimia when I was younger. And my husband and I were concerned how I would go mentally putting on weight. But after 2 years of trying to fall pregnant and being told we couldn't and then it happening, it was like a
Who
switch.
Cares?
Exactly. I was just like, wow, I've got a baby. Like, we were told this couldn't happen and it happened. The other thing, though, after having my son, I did lose a ridiculous amount of weight. He was feeding round the clock every 2 hours for an hour at a time.
Whoa.
Sometimes I'd finish feeding him, put him down. 20 minutes later, he was feeding again. And I remember saying to my mum, what's wrong with him? I just finished feeding him. And she's like, but the start of that feed was 2 hours ago. And I'm like, oh my God. So I literally became a skeleton.
Mm.
I didn't go around clients. I didn't go out because I was so worried about the judgment that women would give me because I'll look at her. She's skinny. Back. She bounced back. And I hated that. I was suffering postnatal depression and anxiety. And so I couldn't deal with the ridicule that women would give.
And this is the thing, women dish it out as praise.
I know.
And you're taking it as, I want to put weight on. I want to hold on to the weight.
So
I am
unhealthy.
Not my fit self right now. This is not what I like to be like.
I felt skinny fat.
Yeah.
I wanted my muscle back. Like it just, it's so funny how women are pushing for that skinny. I want to be skinny. Mm. But then you have it. For me, I had it and I was like, I don't like it.
You didn't feel strong.
Didn't feel strong. I didn't feel healthy. I didn't feel fit. And that's more important to me than being a size.
Mm.
I then started putting weight back on. My body started getting used to it, which was good. But
is
I wanted
is
my
Is your son a big boy?
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my son's up to here and he's not even 5 yet.
Yeah. So he was like, he was showing signs of the big boyness.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, well, I was induced because he was tracking to be 5 kilos. And when he came out at 3.7 kilos, I was like to my OB, Ken, you were so wrong with your measurements.
Ken. Ken's Tan. Popular. Yeah, I Ken's a popular
Ken.
One.
He's my beautiful man. 2 weeks later, Willie was 5 kilos. So I then apologized. I backtracked. I said, okay, maybe you know your stuff.
Yeah.
My daughter was big as well.
Yep.
She was over 4 kilos when she was born. Weight-wise, it hung on. It did. It stuck around.
I've heard the second one as well for a lot of women.
Yep.
You do struggle to get the pre-baby body. Not that we like to use that term, but you apparently do struggle to.
You do. Your body retains it, or my body. Some people do, some people don't. Mm. But again, I didn't care. It was then when I went down the journey of discovering all her intolerances and everything and having to change my diet and then discovering I had a number of intolerances with food. That all of a sudden, boom, I lost all of this weight.
Yep.
It was madness. I know when I'm starting to lose control in my life, The easiest thing to do is my body, is to start torturing myself. So having the strategies and the support network around me of being able to talk with people and say, all right, this is where my head's at. I need to talk about it. Otherwise, I'm going to go down into a really bad place. And it did happen recently when my daughter decided to wean. All of a sudden, it was actually because she had a UTI and she associated the boob with causing the pain for her. The mental aspect of it, of feeling rejected by her, it wasn't my choice. I felt unloved. It felt like I was going through a breakup. And then all of a sudden, your boobs, when you finally, oh my God.
What boobs?
What boobs? Exactly. So then it's
like, mine is so sad.
I know.
They look so sad.
What is this? But that was a whole transition in itself of learning to love my body now that I've finished having children. My boobs are now these deflated pancakes. Yep. But accepting that, hey, I've got two beautiful miracle children. And who cares how you look?
So what would your final piece of advice for Canberra mums who are considering antenatal or postnatal exercise? Is it coming straight to you? Is it going to a doctor? Is it deciding on a goal?
I'd love to say come to me, but I'm not for everyone. You need to find something that works for you. Make sure they've got their qualifications, that they are accredited, because there is so much more to know about a woman's body.
Yeah, it's not just going to a PT. It's going to a PT who understands.
Who understands, absolutely. And the same with a physio as well. Do your research. Have a look into it, who you want to go and work out with.
Yeah.
Make sure they've got their accreditation, and talk with your doctor or your obstetrician, your midwife, and make sure that they're, you know, there's no contraindications for you being able to exercise as well.
I was talking to another mum friend of mine recently. She had her first around the same time I had my second.
Yeah.
And we were just talking the other day, like we've been going around in circles with each other about having to get back into working out. And she said, we've got to be happy when we get the time to do it, not be sad that we didn't get the time to do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the gym on Monday morning and I went for 30 minutes. I didn't try and do more than that. Got home by the time the girls were up. Look, I haven't made it back, you know, yesterday or today, but I can't be upset about that. I've got to be happy that I got one done.
Absolutely. Take the pressure off yourself.
Mums just want to feel connected to other mums, and it's super important to me to make sure that you know that Mother's Guilt is not your battle alone. Working mums are really feeling that mother's guilt, like Jackie.
One of the ones that gets me, and the kids are always fine, but when I go to work, they, you know, Harriet screams at me, you know, don't go. She said the other day, don't go. I'm like, my God, you're talking. What is this? And my son, Mommy, don't go to work. I need you. Stay here.
As soon as you're in the garage, they don't even know your name.
No,
They've never met you before.
Don't care. But they lay on this massive guilt trip before you walk out the door.
Yep.
But it's awesome when you go home and they're like, Mom!
Yeah. Thanks for listening to Mother Time Madness. You can follow me at with.courts on Instagram and find me withcourts.com.au. Canberra mums have amazing stories. If you or someone you know should be on this podcast, please contact me. I can't wait to chat with you. Next week, I'll be chatting with Erin Nicole, who is my first guest who doesn't have kids yet. But can you imagine running a business dedicated to mothers when you're not one yourself? No, me either. And that's why I had to have her on.
I knew from a really young age, I was like, I want 3 or 4 kids. Like, this is what I want. I can't wait to become a mom. Basically, nannied, work at the YMCA since I was 15 years old in the nursery. So I've always worked with kids. But then I went to college for actually, what did I originally go for? Biology, pre-med. But then on that journey, that led me into anti-human trafficking work.
Wow.
And I think because I went into that work, one, passionate about women.
Yeah.
But I think also the child sex trafficking was really, really big for me.
And if you like this podcast, I would love for you to rate it, share it, do whatever you need to get the word out.